morning. Let's all stand together. We'll sing hymn number one. Hymn number one. Sing hymn number 303 together. 303.
Everybody, in Ephesians chapter 1. We, of course, feel the deepest sympathy for Albert and his family. Loss of his wife, mother, and sister, to those here. But boy, I sure am happy for her. Oh, my. You know, I was telling somebody before service, once you get into eternity, that's all you ever know. It's like you've been no place else. Once you get there, this place don't even exist anymore. You know where it says, God said in the Scriptures, time shall be no more? Well, that's for every one of us when we get there. When you get there, time is no more. And when you get there, that's the only place you've ever known. It's hard to get our mind around that, ain't it? Who don't want to go there? Who don't want to go there? Well, it's and the service is tomorrow, visitation 11 to 1, and we'll have the service there and then go to the graveyard. All right, I'm going to read the first 13 verses of Ephesians 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According, and here's the first spiritual blessing, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Second spiritual blessing, that we should be holy. Third spiritual blessing, and without blame before him in love. That's three right there. Ain't that's enough, ain't it? Listen to this. Here's a fourth one. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath, here's the fifth one, made us accepted in the beloved. And here's the sixth one. Now, there's just this thing just full of them. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Oh, here's a blessing. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. I love this. I really, really listen to this. That we should be, that's what he did. We gave us this eternal inheritance, predestinated us according to his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Our great, glorious, blessed God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our God and our Father, we come into your holy presence with thanksgiving, praise from our lips, joy from our heart, thankfulness, oh Lord, so thankful. We read about all the blessings that you've given us, and these are just a drop in the bucket according to what you've given us in our Lord Jesus Christ. You've made us accepted. We're beloved. We're chosen. We're redeemed. We know your will given to us in Christ. And we thank you for it. We thank you for this blessed time that you gather us together to worship our living God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for this body of believers and how they support the work here, meet the needs of everyone, and for all the opportunities you give us to support others and do for others. And Lord, we pray for this dear family. Lord, we can't help but rejoice in what you've done for our dear, dear sister. But Lord, we know that there's grief to bear, broken hearts, sorrow and tears to come for this family. But oh Lord God, we pray for your grace, for your abundance of grace, for great, great mercy towards them. And Lord, for my preacher brethren that's standing preaching today, meet their needs. And Lord, cause the gospel to run well here today. And when Cody comes to bring the gospel, comes to preach to us, Lord, bless him, anoint him, liberate his mind, liberate his lips, and please give us hearts to believe, ears to hear, and rejoice in the gospel. We thank you for your great mercies given us in Christ. Amen.
Hymn number 318. 318. Together and sing the hymn of the day in the bulletin.
Oh, Christ.
Cody Henson here, and Bruce will be here next week. I'm going back down to Florida to preach next weekend. But Cody, appreciate you, buddy. The Lord bless you as you come bring them the Lord's message for us.
Good morning. If you will, turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Rachel and I and the church in Kingsport sympathize with you on the loss of our dear sister Barbara, but oh, how we rejoice with you. So thankful. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I want to consider one glorious verse this morning and pray the Lord might bless it to us. It's the last verse in the chapter, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. Look at it with me. Paul writes, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Now, it goes without saying we have many, many reasons to give thanks to our God. Just saying those words makes me think, where do we even begin? I'll quote you a few verses that come to mind. "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." We ought to. "But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased." Is that not cause to give thanks? "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." God called some people unto Himself according to His purpose. And He tells us He's working everything for our good. Not only our good in this life, but our good forever. Eternal life, eternity, like you just mentioned. "Oh, brethren, He hath done all things well." Though we often don't know what He's doing, we will know. We will. He'll make these things clear in His time. When thinking about our dear sister, I thought of this. We use these words. "He called her home." It's not a bad thing. And let me tell you this. In her life on this earth, He called her to Himself with a holy calling. Now He called her home. She had a home here, but brethren, our home here is temporary. She's home. You sorrow, brother. We sorrow. But let's rejoice. She's home. Let's give thanks. She's home. Thanks be to God. We just celebrated some holidays. Christmas. A day that, and I realize these holidays, I know how a lot of them came about. And we didn't celebrate the birth of baby Jesus, I hate to even say those words, but that's what so many people are saying and celebrating. We celebrate that God became a man to be the substitute of sinners. Thanks be unto God. Every remembrance we have that our Lord took upon Himself a body of flesh and that He traded places with us and became us. Is that not a good thing? A good time to give thanks? Just remembering that, Him and what He did. And a month before that, we celebrated Thanksgiving. We gave thanks to God for what? For all His many bountiful blessings and goodness to us. Turn with me to Psalm 92. I want to show you a few verses here. This matter of giving thanks. Psalm 92. Psalms talk a lot about giving thanks. And because we have a lot to be thankful for. Psalm 92, look at verse 1. Psalm 92, 1, the psalmist writes, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night." We ought to give thanks in the morning and at night. Verse 3, "Upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound." You know, I come here and often someone will play an instrument and sing praise unto our Lord, and I love it. I love hearing it. It's a beautiful thing. Verse 4, "For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep." Does that not make you rejoice? You can turn back to our text. Back in 2 Corinthians 9, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Corinthians about giving. All right. Look here at verse 6, 2 Corinthians 9, 6. "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." The saints back then needed to hear this, and so do we. I know I do. When it comes to giving, I'm ashamed to admit it, but I'm... If you want to model your giving after somebody, don't do it after me. I'm always thinking about myself first. If I bought a gift for you, I bought two for myself. It's nothing to be proud of, and I'm sinful, okay? And I know I'm not the only one. Please don't look down on me too hard. But I just want to tell us, our giving is nothing to be proud of, okay? Whatever you or I give to God is simply out of thanksgiving to Him for what He's given to us. Our gifts are thank you, a pitiful thank you at that. And I want to share this with you. A few years ago, the president of the company that I worked for, he sat me down one day and was asking me about church and if I go and all these things. And then he said, "Do you tithe?" I thought, man, what a strange thing for my company's president to ask me. And I said, I give what I can just to say thank you. And he said, well, I tithe so God will bless me. I said, well, I give not so that God will bless me, but because God has blessed me. I give just to say thanks. There's a difference. So many people think they're giving and doing for God in order for God to react and give to them. No, brother, we give knowing everything we have came from Him. Now look right here at verse 8. "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, He hath dispersed abroad, has He not? He hath given to the poor, His righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God." We give because God has given to us. We love Him because He first loved us. We seek Him because He sought us. And we give to Him because He gave to us. Thanks be unto God. Verse 15. "For His unspeakable gift." I want to talk about this word unspeakable for a moment. God is unspeakable. Doesn't mean God doesn't speak or we can't speak of Him. It means He's indescribable. Everything about the Lord our God is indescribable. We try. Oh, don't do Him justice. Let's just consider a few things. How infinitely glorious our God is. In the beginning, God. When you just think about that. How that He spoke everything into existence. Even now, He speaks and it comes to pass. Is that not unspeakable? How do we find words to adequately describe that? Oh, we can't. God's eternal. The eternal God who had no beginning, He has no end. The triune God. God, the three in one. Three persons in one God. How do we explain that? It's indescribable. Turn over with me back a few pages to Romans 11. I love what this says. Romans 11, verse 33. Romans 11, 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. You know, sometimes people think they've found God out. Oh, brethren, we've not scratched the surface of who He is and how glorious He is. His wisdom, far greater than ours. His knowledge, His judgments, His ways. I tell you what they are. They're unspeakable. They're unspeakable. How can God be holy? And He is. Too holy to behold sin. How can He be holy and yet receive sinners? Christ receiveth sinners, and He eats with them. How can it be? How can it be that God should love a soul like me? Unspeakable. Absolutely unspeakable. The fact that He said, I will have mercy. How glorious is that? And He said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. He tells us that His mercy endures forever. I think it's Psalm maybe 136, the whole every verse. His mercy endures forever. His mercy, Jeremiah tells us, is new every single morning. Every morning. And we're told that He delighteth to show it to all who need it. Sinners. Is that not unspeakable to you? What about the blood of Christ, our Passover lamb, the holy, spotless, pure Lamb of God? That was shed abundantly on needy, helpless, wretched, vile sinners. The blood of Christ, there's a psalm that says, that reaches deeper than the stain has gone. I listened to it on the way here. Praise the Lord for full salvation. And I know His blood still reaches. Still does. It always will. The blood of Christ that cleanses us from all sin. Have you sinned today? Anybody sinned today yet? I sinned yesterday. You sinned today? His blood cleanses us from all sin. Cleanseth. Always will. Unspeakable, isn't it? What about God's grace? Is that a word that is music to your ears? There's a word I've heard mentioned some. It's superabounding. And when I hear that word, I think, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Superabounding grace. Is there a sinner here? You need God's grace to abound within you. On you, sovereign grace, not grace that I'll accept His grace. If He sheds it on us, yes, we will accept it. It's His grace that accepts us in the beloved. God's sovereign grace that He continually bestows upon His people. The song we sing, grace that is greater than all our sin. I need grace that's greater than my sin. You know, the line says, freely bestowed on all who believe, on all whom He causes to believe. His grace is irresistible. It's effectual. God is gracious to us. He makes us to receive His grace, to come to Him. He blesses the man whom the Lord draws unto Himself. Psalm 65, 4. He causes us to approach unto Him. That's the only way we're going to dwell in His courts, is if He causes us to. Lord, draw us. Cause us to approach You. He tells us that His grace is sufficient. You're going through a very tough trial. I don't know much about trials. I've had 30 pretty easy years. I don't know what the future holds, but I know this. God holds it. He holds me. He holds everything that's going to come to pass. And I can trust Him and His grace, no matter what it is. He giveth more grace, and that grace is sufficient. It always is. No matter what the trial might be, God sends the trial. We need to remember that every time. We need to remember that. His will. You think about the will of God. We're just ready. Works all things according to His will, His purpose. Think about the heart of God. What a message that might be. The heart of God. The love of God. The thoughts of God. We just read they're deep. Very deep. You think about the character of God. We could go on and on thinking about all these things about the Lord our God. They're all unspeakable. Every single one of them. Unspeakable. We get up here and we speak of Him. We love to speak of Him. Nothing else worth speaking of. But we fall so short. Lord, help us to speak of You. Now, that word unspeakable, it's in the Scriptures three times. And I want us to see all three. Turn over just a couple pages to chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. This was when the Lord took the Apostle Paul, caught him up in the third heaven. 2 Corinthians 12, look at verse 4. I love this. 2 Corinthians 12, 4. He was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful or possible for man to utter. You know, if you just read those few verses there, I just read verse 4, but Paul said, whether I was in the body or not, I don't know. But I was there and I heard things that I literally can't even repeat to you. Don't you like thinking about what he must have heard? What he must have seen? Our brother Peter, he experienced something unspeakable too. And specifically, I don't believe he's talking about the Mount of Transfiguration, though that was something glorious in and of itself. But turn with me to what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1. We who know God, we know He's unspeakable. We know He's infinitely, so infinitely glorious. We just love hearing about Him. Look here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. He writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now look at everything he says here. "Which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." Verse 5. "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Verse 6. "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." Now look at this. "Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." Now a few things I want to point out here. Notice it told us in verse 3 that God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is blessed. Just, I had the privilege of teaching the kids in my Sunday school class this last week that it's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, we've received, we're blessed because of what we've received. But the greater blessings in giving, who gave? Well, God did. God did. He's the blessed one. And we're blessed in Him. Told us that He begat us unto a lively hope with abundant mercy. We just read that He's given us an incorruptible and undefiled inheritance that will never end, never fade away. Told us we're being kept. How long? Forever. Is that good enough? And He told us right there that even our trials, manifold temptations, and the sin that so easily besets us, all these trials are for our good, for our refining, as gold is refined in the fire. For our good, brothers and sisters, Peter knew by experience, having received such amazing goodness, such amazing gifts from God, could only result in this: joy unspeakable and full of glory. Have you experienced this joy? Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a joy and happiness that floods my soul that I just can't explain. The world doesn't know it because they've not experienced it. They don't know Him. I pray that they might. Pray that He might reveal to them what He's revealed to us. Reveal Christ to them. Reveal the joy unspeakable. You know, we get so tossed to and fro with the affairs of this world and this country, the things going on, and I do. I keep up with a lot of this stuff, and it troubles me. That's what it does. It doesn't encourage me. If it encourages us, we need to find new encouragement. That only God can give. I'm telling you, if you're looking for joy unspeakable, look no further. Back in our text, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. God has given us numerous gifts. Okay, we just looked at several. He's given us many gifts. I want to read you this verse. Matthew 7:11 says, our Lord said, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him?" God, our Father, gives good gifts, perfect gifts, to His children. Okay? And we know, as James tells us, that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. They all come from our Father, the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. We give thanks unto Him for all His gifts to us. But right here we're told there's one singular gift, one gift that is above all gifts. And when we give thanks to God for this gift, we give thanks to God for all the other gifts too. You know what the gift is, don't you? You know who it is, don't you? So you turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, verse 4. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. One gift. One gift. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Given. For God so loved the world, He gave. What did He give? He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Well, who's going to believe on Him? Those are, Brother Donnie read to us in Ephesians 1, those whom He predestinated according to His purpose, chosen in Christ from the foundation of the world. I like this one, Galatians 1, 4. He gave Himself. He gave Himself. For what? For our sins. That He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. He gave Himself. In Ephesians 5, we read this: husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. You know, the best way we can show our love is giving ourselves. And that's what our Lord did. How did He love her? He gave Himself for her. And again, don't look to me as your example. I'm a pitiful example. I do a pitiful job, but He's my example. He's my motivation. He's so much more than that. He's my Savior, my Lord, my God. Can we honestly say, thank God for Christ? Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ, the unspeakable gift of God. Now, concerning a gift, This unspeakable gift is a gift freely given. Can't buy it. We don't earn it. Sovereign gift. Sovereign, you know, we choose who to give a gift to, don't we? Now, sometimes if someone gives us a gift, we feel obliged to give them a gift. That's usually how it works, ain't it? Someone sends you a card, well, I better start sending them a card. That's not how it is with God. God freely gives, expecting nothing in return. What can we give Him? It all belongs to Him. You know, in the Old Testament, they would sacrifice all these animals. All the cattle are His, aren't they? I've heard some messages where they dug it, they did some research and found out how many thousands and thousands and thousands of animals were sacrificed. Oh, well, that's amazing. God gave them all. And all the ones they didn't kill, too. Everything we consume upon our lust, God gave it to us. What do we have that we haven't received? Why do we glory in these things as if we earned it? Well, I worked hard for that. Who gave you the mind and ability and will to work? Who gave you the job? Well, I did. No, God did. It pleases God to reveal Christ to whom He will. The Spirit bloweth where it listeth. The Spirit moved upon the face of the waters. When God says, let there be light, it's God that gives light. And Christ is the light. This gift cannot be bought. It cannot be exchanged. You ever exchange a gift? A lot of that going on right now. I'd hate to work in retail. He's the gift that can't be bought. He's the gift that can't be exchanged. He can't be returned and He can't be rejected. You know, some of our gifts go to the wayside or to the garbage can, don't they? If you have Him, you want Him. You didn't, but now you do. He's the gift nobody wanted. Nobody. Nobody wanted Him. If we think we did, we're deceiving ourselves. Truth's not in us. He came unto His own. His own didn't receive Him. Well, who else did? Nobody did. Except those whom He caused to come to Him and come and receive Him. I love this when we read about when it pleased God to reveal His Son in me. He said, I didn't confer with flesh and blood. We don't. And when Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, Christ told him flesh and blood didn't reveal this unto you. We had nothing to do with it. We've simply received the sovereign gift. God's Word from start to finish. Though we didn't want Him, can you not testify this? You who have Him, is He not everything to you? Is He not the pearl of great price to you? Do you not gladly forsake all and follow Him? Do you not? You know, He told that rich young ruler, He said, sell everything you have. You got too much. It wasn't just earthly riches. He had that. But He had something far worse. He had a self-righteousness that He was not willing to part with. He was too rich. Lord told him, you sell everything you have, and you come follow me, and you'll have treasure in heaven. You know what the treasure in heaven is? It's Christ. We count everything dung, like Paul said, and we cling to Christ. He's the treasure. Do we have Him? He's a gift. Have we been gifted Him? Have we received Him? I'll tell you this. He's not waiting, hoping that we might receive Him. No. Now, I'll give you a good example. And if He gives Himself to us, we'll have Him. We'll have Him. The example I thought of was that Samaritan woman in John chapter 4 tells us our Lord must needs go through Samaria. And He did. And He's sitting there on a well, Jacob's well, Sychar. And this woman comes out. Well, what a coincidence. And He asked her for a drink of water, and she said, well, why are you asking me? Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And here's what He told her. He said, if thou knewest the gift of God, if you knew the gift, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of Him, and He would have given thee living water. And oh, bless her heart, she was so confused. He told her, whosoever drinketh of this water, the water she was drawing, shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him, he must give it. Here's what He said about that water. He said, that water shall be in him, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. You know what she said after he told her that? She said, "Sir," still didn't know him, "give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." And that's when he told her, he said, you go bring your husband out here. And she said, "I don't have a husband." "That's right, you've had five, and the man you're with now ain't your husband." And then she gets religious, shows her religious side, and our fathers worshipped in this mountain. Our Lord told her, "Ye worship, ye know not what." You don't know what you worship. And that's the case for so many. Anybody that doesn't know Christ, they don't have a clue what they worship. I'll tell you what they worship. Self. We all do until we worship Christ. Every single one of us. And then she said, "Well, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. He'll tell us all things." Buddy, her life was about to change forever. He looked at her and he said, "I am. I that speak unto thee am." You know what she did? She had a water pot. She left her water pot. And she took off running into that city. And she had a new message. She said, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" I tell you what happened that day. The gift came to her. She just went out for some water. And she went home with everlasting life. You see, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift came to her. The gift must come to us and reveal Himself to us. And if He does, we're going to go home with a new hope, a new message. All I've earned, all she earned, all the Apostle Paul earned, all Peter earned, all we've all earned is death, eternal death. I'll tell you what my hope is. My hope is in God's gift. God's gift. It means my hope is in God. My hope is in something He's done, not something I've done or could ever do. It's in His gift. Are we hoping in His gift? Do we need God to do something for us? I'll tell you this. It's a free gift. We play no part. We receive the gift because He makes us receive the gift. And we're glad He does. Oh, thought of what the Lord told Abraham. He had received a gift too. You remember what He said? He said, "I am your exceeding great reward," your gift. Who's our reward? You know, people are trying to earn rewards in heaven. Who's our reward? Christ is. He's the gift. He's all. I love what Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." Is He? Can we say that? My Redeemer and my friend. My Savior. I have one hope, brethren. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ. God's unspeakable gift. God Himself. He's my all in all. I'm just a poor sinner and nothing at all. Jesus Christ is my all in all. I pray that the gift might be revealed to us today. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. All right. Lord bless His word.
That blessed me. Ruby Elmore. I could not count the times that she would leave, meet me at the door. And she'd say, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." She told me that countless times. Countless times after you preached to God. "Thanks be unto God for..." And you can preach the same thing tonight. God was. Oh, it was wonderful. Let's stand together. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch
like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that, oh how precious it did appear, oh so precious. The hour His grace is sufficient through many dangers, toils, and snares. I have already what's it going to do? You know, I feel like I ought to say this. If you feel like the Lord's done something for you, and you've never made a confession of faith in Christ, you ought to tell me or tell the church, but you come and talk to me, because I tell you, there's nothing. This grace has to come where you are, to bring you where He is. And we heard about that free gift, and thank God for it. See you this evening at 6 o'clock. Cody will be preaching again. Oh, brother, thank you.